In a couple of weeks, we'll be focusing on heroes of the faith. And of course, you know, Pastor Don, always we share in our meeting together as staff and leaders what we'll be talking about in the next couple of months and stuff like that. So I've been thinking about, you know, what this hero thing for me would be looking like. So we're going to be focusing, having a jump start this morning on my part. But generally, when we speak of heroes or heard someone speak about a hero, 99.9% of the time is in reference to a male figure. I mean, it's just one of those things. Don't ask me why so. I don't know. Because really and truly, there are some female figures in Scripture that can be considered as heroes of the faith as well. When we think of Esther and Ruth, you know, Naomi, the woman of Zarephath, just only to mention a few, and then one of which we'll be talking about here in Scripture today is the widow who gave 2 mites or 2 copper coins in the temple. Not to mention Mother Teresa and all that she has done for the people in India and her life. Now, here is a definition of a hero. A man of distinguished bravery. A man of distinguished bravery. But Webster went on to say, a woman with the attributes of a man. Okay? Now, you get that, okay? Distinguished bravery of a man, but a woman with attributes of a man. So let's try to break that down a little bit, okay? Which means bravery, strong, bold, courageous. I mean, a no-nonsense kind of a person. In other words, in layman's term, don't mess around with her. All right? That's the kind of person she is. Now, there are 2 passages of Scripture we would like to focus on today. And the first is Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. And here we're going to see why this widow can be considered as a hero. And thank you guys for being here. The Scripture is going to be on the PowerPoint, I believe. Let me read it to you from Mark chapter 12. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the row of chairs in front of you. You can reach out and get to that one. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being taken, and watch the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worthy of a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all give out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you today for your word. And we just ask that you would watch over us now as your Holy Spirit teaches us. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were in the temple at this time. And in this particular area of the temple, there were boxes that were being placed for people's money to be placed into. For example, one box was for the temple tax. So people came in and they put their money or the contribution that will go towards the temple tax. There was another box for a free will offering, and this money was used at the discretion of the priests and the rulers to help the poor and the needy. And it was into this box, a free will offering, that the widow placed her money. Okay, Jesus, prior to all of this, warned the rich and the wealthy about the giving to impress, or about the giving to be recognized by the public because of the gift that they give. Jesus did not condemn the gift in itself, whatever they give. But Jesus talked against the attitude in which the money was given. And that's what Jesus talked about. And Jesus was around, and he was watching this whole process. And let me see here. Ken, would you get me that stool right there, please? I'm sorry, I was running around this morning with a chicken with his head cut off. And but it's going to be all right.
Yeah. I just said you were 47.
Yeah. Well, it's worse when you be 69. So. This is what it looks like, or my imagination of what it is. So everyone came, and the rich, they give their money. And this, the Bible says in some translation that they cast their money or the gift into the treasury or into the box. And this is what it probably sounds like when one of the rich folks... It sounds maybe something like that. At that point in time, when that noise was heard, do you suppose that there were some people who turned around and wanted to see who gave that money, because they can hear it all the way in the back? Maybe so. But then, there was a widow that came, and she dropped in 2 copper coins. Do you suppose that maybe anyone turned around to see it was not even loud enough? But you know what? Somebody took notice of what happened. Jesus saw the whole picture of everything, because he was watching the whole process. Jesus saw her heart. Jesus saw her compassion for the needy, her willingness to participate with the little that she had. She actually gave everything that she had. What she put into the treasury that day, that was it. She didn't have anything for the next day. But Jesus also saw that she was trusting God for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Jesus did that. But then something else happened. Jesus used this moment as an opportunity to teach his disciples. And he said, he called the guys together and said, "Guys, you know, come over here." And Jesus said, "You see that lady over there? Yeah, you know, what about her? She gave in 2 copper coins worth not even half of a penny. But she gave more than anyone else or everybody else combined." Maybe the disciples asked, "How can that be?" And Jesus said to them that she gave out of her poverty, but the rest of the people give out of their wealth. She gave everything that she had. Now, there are three girls in they're going to come out. Kristen, Stella, and Ruby. Where is my runner? Okay. Now I'm going to give them all of that coin so that they can divide it, you know, and with themselves, and that's going to be theirs. But here is the question. Okay, didn't work out just the way we planned it. What happened when we give, when we are faithful to God? She gave, Jesus said that she gave everything. She gave more or all put together. What happened when we give? The second portion of scripture that we would like to look at. Okay, girls, all this money in here is yours. And what I'm doing it because it was a female who did. And so you guys are going to take it and share it with everybody in the room. Okay, okay, Miss Leanne is going to help you guys do that. The second passage of scripture that we would like to look at is Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 to 12. I, the Lord, do not change, for you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. But you say, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. So first of all, what happened when we give? We are being obedient to God's word. Because God's word says that we should bring in the tithes and the offering into his storehouse. A lot of people probably ask today, well, you know, what is the tithe? The Bible clearly states that the tithe is one-tenth of what we have coming in, our income. And I know that there were times when I received additional income other than my salary. For example, I do cottage meetings, we call it, where we gather in the homes of people. And they have a testimony. People give praise and thanks to God for what. And people will give me a love offering. And my first thing is that that's an income because it came in. So I need to tithe. I need to give God his portion. I remember at one time I did a wedding, and this has never happened to me before. I did a wedding, and a lady gave me $500. And my first thing was, because it's income to me, God blessed me with it, then I in turn will have to bless him by giving him what is his. In 1 Samuel 15, I would like to, and some of these scriptures are not going to be in the PowerPoint for the reason that, you know, when you prepare and all the thoughts come to you and all of that stuff, There are some extra scriptures, but this is what Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. He says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" You know, it was a lot easier to make a sacrifice than to obey God. Because when they make a sacrifice, they could just kill an animal and says, "Hey, that is great." But obedience is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday walk with Jesus. And he went on to say, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God. And then also, in Acts chapter 5, in Acts chapter 5, let me turn there very quickly. In Acts chapter 5, this was when Peter and the apostles were told that they are not to preach in the name of Jesus. And this is what Peter says in verse 29. Peter and the other apostles reply, "We must obey God rather than men." So, let's be obedient to God, and let's obey the word. We do not have a choice to say, "Well, you know, I'm going to obey part of the Bible, and I will leave out the rest, or this does not apply to me, but this applies to me." But God wants us to obey his word unconditionally in everything that we do. What happens when we give? We open the windows of heaven. We open the windows of heaven. So, if we open the windows of heaven, let's assume that the windows are closed. Open, close, make sense? Okay? Now, how can we explain closed windows? First of all, they turn away from God. They turn away from God. They worship God, they knew God, they praise his name. Now they have turned away from God and they have stopped worshiping him. They stopped giving their gifts to him. And as a result, they close the window that should be open unto them. How else do they close the window? By withholding their giving. They stop giving into the temple. They stop bringing in the tithes and the offering. And that was one of the ways that they also closed the window. Now, they deny their obedience to God. When it says that, "How should we return to you?" or how did we rob you? And instead of listening to what Malachi, God's prophet, was saying, they pretended that they had no knowledge of what was happening. How do we do this? And as a result, of course, they closed the window. Now, how do we open the windows? Scripture says to them, "Return to me. Come back to me. Come back into the fellowship. Come back to worship me. Come back to praise me. And if you return to me, I will return to you." And you know, folks, I know a lot of times people have difficulties in life and they have grown cold and weary. And they probably stop frequenting church and worshiping God and everything else. And God is saying to us, "Hey, you know, come back to me. You know, return to me and I will return to you." And then he also says, "Test me." In other words, he's saying that if you have doubts if this is going to work as it did for you in the past, test me. This is the only place in Scripture that God told the children that you can test me. And see, You know what that is? That is confidence. That is surety that God is going to stand beside us and with us in everything once we trust in Him. And then when that happens, they receive a blessing. And what was the blessing? It says that God opened the windows. He says, I will open the windows and they will be like a floodgate pouring into your lap, into your lives. In one of our cruises, we went to Panama, and we took a train ride to the locks area, where the ships and the small cargo vessels come in. At that time, the huge ships could not go through because it was not big enough. Now they have done that, and where the cruise ship can go through. But we went, and we were on the lookout, and we saw this small ship as it comes in, and they close the lock behind it, all secure. And then they raise the opposite side, and all the water up there just rushed in to where the vessel was, and the vessel start rising up. Is that maybe a picture of what God can do for us when we are faithful to Him? That His blessing will come in like a floodgate. It will pour out into our lives. And even that, we will be climbing higher heights and experience greater joy in our hearts and lives when that happens. But His word even says that when you do that, that you would not even have room to receive it, what God will do for you, if we are being faithful to Him. One of the other blessings that God says that He will do, He says, I will protect your crops. I will protect your crops. Over 70%, I would imagine, of people in those days live off of the land. They plant vegetables, whatever, everything was growing, and so God says, "Hey, I will protect your crop." I don't know if you had any farming experience of any kind or a fruit tree in your yard, and sometimes you go and you see all the young fruits are dropping off of the tree, falling on the ground, and you wonder why. And when Malachi says that I will protect your crops, he's saying that I will prevent that from happening. The fruits of the vine is not going to fall before the time of harvest. I will protect that. It also means that any type of disease that the plants would normally have around that time, or whatever the case may be, He says, I will take care of that as well. I will rebuke the devourer, the scripture says. And what was, or who was the devourer? Wild animals, wild boar, coyotes, whatever come and trample over the field and everything else and destroy all of that. Hail, mildew, drought. Malachi says, I will take care of all of that. And I believe for us today that God will also rebuke the devourer from us. Whatever that devourer is that wants to take away from you, the devourer that will prevent you from being a good steward to God, Malachi says, God will stop all of that. And you will have all of that. And then he says that, you know, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. Not individually, but as a family. our children's children will be blessed because of our faithfulness. Our church family will be blessed because we are being faithful to God. But not only that, the scripture says that all nations will call you blessed, or you will be blessed by even other nations. You know, folks, when God blesses His children and blesses the church, it is not a secret. When God blesses you, it is noticeable. And mind you, we don't do this because we want to be noticed by other people, but they just can't help it. You know, I was the more I thought about this, I wonder that if the neighboring nation, when they heard about what was happening with God's children and how God was blessing them and the crops and everything, maybe they came by with the horse and chariot and they were riding by the field and looking at the greenery and looking at the produce and looking at the harvest. And they're asking, how come our fields don't look like that? How come our fields are not laden? How come the branches with the grapes are hanging, almost touching the ground? We don't see that in our field. But because God blessed them due to their faithfulness, God protected them from all of that. You know, folks, my challenge to you is today is that be faithful to God. And, you know, what I'm about to say, I don't say it boastfully or in any way to make an impression to anyone. But God has blessed us down the years. He has never failed to bless us. There were times when we give away something that we love or very close to us, and it wasn't long after that that the same was returned back to us. God did that. We give away. We don't have, you know, Social Security income, my wife's retirement. We don't have big investment of any kind. But we give away 40% of our income to God. And people might say, well, they must have a lot of money. That's why they do that. But no, that's not the case. But God has blessed us tremendously because of our faithfulness to Him. And like I said, we don't do this to make an impression on anybody. This is what we do because we want to be faithful to God. If you are not a tither, if you are not a giver, I just want to challenge you to start giving to God, to be a tither. I remember when we lived in St. Lucia, there was this young lady who came to know the Lord, and we talked to her about tithing. And she said that, I don't know if I can afford to give my tithes because I helped to support the family. Her mom was a single mom. And she did. She took the challenge and she tithed. And she talked about the blessing of God. But then there was one time in her life during this time, she did not give any tithe to the church. She did not return to God what belonged to Him. And her brother stole her entire paycheck after it was cashed in the house. And we talk about it. And she told us the story and all that, and we encouraged her, and she realized that how she needs to be faithful to God. And folks, all I'm saying is that the main focus that you have to leave here with today is that be obedient to God. Be faithful to Him. Be committed. And trust Him. And He said, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing if I remember my English grammar correctly, a blessing means one. I will pour you all a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. But I believe in my heart that God can bless us not only in this way, but in many other areas of our life. God will bless us that we would have enough to spare and to even give to others. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. The worship team will come up. Prepare for the closing song. We just thank you, O God, for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for teaching us today. Lord, we pray that however your Holy Spirit is working with us, we just thank you and we just praise you. I pray a special blessing upon the families today, upon the husband, the wife, the children. You know them all. And help, Lord, if there's one thing they leave here with today, is that they would leave with this message that God loves me and God wants to bless me and my family. We just thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.